Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You look like you've been for breakfast at the Heartbreak Hotel, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England got a draw, but Wales failed to qualify. It's Wednesday, 27th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. It is, I was going to say a wonderful Wednesday. I wanted to say a Welsh Wednesday, but
not
sad,
a Welsh
very
Wednesday.
Sadly,
no.
That's not going to happen. I do want to say thanks to friend of the Ramble, Yarif, for giving us that intro line. You can submit the intro line for next Wednesday's show by signing up to our Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free versions of the Ramble OTC up front, and as well as all that, an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble, which we call Football Ramble Sexy Times.
Football Ramble Nights.
Yeah.
Football Ramble Behind the Curtain.
We all go and get changed.
Yeah.
And to cocktail dresses. And put those little masks over our eyes.
Yeah.
And do a masquerade ball.
Like an Eyes Wide Shut.
A masquerade Alan Ball. Like Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah.
There we are, you see. Yeah. So if you want that, and why on earth would you? Or wouldn't you, sorry, as it says here, then it's just $5 a month. On top of that, you'll also get Discord access, where Patreon subscribers have been forming a Ponytail 11, please don't ask, and have been banning certain snacks from football stadiums. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble to have your say. We start with the news, of course, that Wales lost 5-4 on pens to Poland after a 0-0 draw. Gutting, absolutely gutting,
yeah.
Andy. You were there, of course, for the semi-final playoff
against Finland,
against Finland, and they're out.
I felt pretty sure.
Well, they're not out, they haven't qualified.
I felt pretty sure they would get past Poland, actually. I felt pretty sure they would qualify. And, you know, looking back on that game in the cold light of day, I don't know if there's much that they really would or could have done differently.
I agree with you.
I thought it was a really good performance, really solid. Maybe that they lacked that little bit of quality. But it's interesting, afterwards, the Poland coach was asked loads of questions on how bad Robert Lewandowski was.
Really?
Which I think is quite an interesting way of framing something that they should like be really happy with. Because when Mikhail Probierz took over, I mean, he's been unbeaten since they've taken over, but they were really they were sinking. They weren't going to qualify.
Fernando Santos would have loved this, wouldn't he?
Yeah, would he have?
Yeah, and they
extra time and penalties without being able to smoke. I don't think he would have done.
Well, firstly,
get the patches out, Andy.
Yeah, he'd have been covered in patches, but also, them not having a shot on target and going through.
Yeah, right, fair enough.
Come on.
Fair enough, you completed, got me there. You got me there.
Completed it.
The man won the Euros, for crying out loud, and the Nations League. Have a bit of respect.
Poland, so, I mean, if you look at it in the round, Poland's recent record in qualifying for tournaments is far better than Wales's,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
But they had a terrible qualification thing in quite an easy group, really. I mean, on paper, I mean, Albania won that group.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go into European Championship qualifying, and you've got Albania, Czech Republic, Moldova, and Faroe Islands, and already the fact that the Euros is expanded anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
They should be qualifying.
It should
for that
be impossible for good teams to not qualify.
Yeah. That's the whole point of it. And so for them to go like through this is kind of a little bit embarrassing for them, given how poor Santos was when he managed them. But I mean, I wonder whether it was quite an evenly matched game last night between two teams that could have won it. Both teams had chances.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, Ben Davis was, you know, a cigarette paper away from scoring, really. I mean, it was very, very narrow offside decision against him on VAR. And it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And it came down to one kick of a ball. It's hard for Wales to take, and they're not going to fit. The Welsh fans aren't going to feel like that this morning, but it is really just one of those things, I think.
Well, I think, and what Andy said about what else could they have done, you saw that when Dan James misses the 10th penalty, and which is obviously the one that put them out. The Wales fans looked gutted, as you would expect them to look. But then there was applause. They recognised what the side had kind of done.
Yeah.
And because I think that's all you can do. I think, you know, you think about the start of their qualification campaign, it wasn't particularly inspiring. Okay, they got a bit of a smash and grab point in Croatia, I think it was. But they finished well in the group, but finishing third as well, there was still a bit of work to do. And, you know, Rob Page is saying today, you know, the group is in transition, but he's very excited. He wants to stay on. His contract is up until just beyond the 2026 World Cup. And you would think that they would stick with what they have, Vish, wouldn't you? Because Page, I think, you know, he's done a good job. And there is an excitement. I mean, it would have been glorious for them to qualify, of course. But they seem to be in, despite, I know it seems ridiculous to say they seem to be, you know, in good shakes despite what happened last night. But I don't think that actually takes away from that point.
Well, especially given the conversation around Page at the start of the campaign, or certainly, you know, when the campaign got going, was whether he was the right person to mould this young group of players. And evidently he has been.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends. A lot depends on, you know, how much the trust from the players translates to the trust of the people who, well, essentially at the Welsh FA, because I feel like Page has shown enough to, you know, I suppose to get a crack at taking this team forward. And it does really feel like the team respond quite well to him.
Yeah, I think
agreed.
So.
Agreed.
I think they've got such a good vibe.
Yeah, and, you know, even little things like Andy was saying, you know, having been to the semi-final against Finland, about how he felt they were keeping something in the back pocket. That was broadly quite a professional performance. Yeah. I think I went into that game expecting them to be, you know, blood and thunder and all the things you associate with, you know, with
British football.
With British football primarily, yeah. And they weren't. They were very considered and just like letting the younger players off the leash without actually seemingly taking too many risks. Uh-huh. And that's how things felt yesterday against Poland. It felt like they stepped it up a notch against, you know, superior opposition to Finland. But yeah, that was broadly quite gutting. And I think what was good was the crowd reaction, as you said, the action from the players as well.
Yeah.
I think there was a real sense of like, fuck, what more could we have done?
Yeah.
And I think coming out of that, where there was little resentment within the camp is obviously a bonus. But at the same time, I did watch that game and get a little bit sad, because Robert Lewandowski does look really old.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Ramsey didn't even get on the pitch.
I know he didn't, but he was quite sweet, actually. Around extra time, he was going around having little chats with people, which is very important.
Speaking of chats, Pete was really incensed on our WhatsApp about the Lewandowski penalty technique.
Yeah, I see where he's coming from.
I can see where he's coming from. It's funny because it's...
So what happened, Andy?
So, basically, it's like a Paraginia, a little stop, but it isn't, because he keeps moving.
Yeah.
So it's not actually against the law. It's very clever because it does fake out the goalkeeper, but it doesn't actually stop.
Mm.
Now, really, in the spirit of the game, it shouldn't be allowed, but I don't see how you don't allow it.
The level of choreography the idea that he's workshopped that annoys me a little bit.
Does it?
I don't know why.
I'll tell you why. Because he's done like TikTok dance and stuff, and he looks ridiculous.
Oh, no, that's exactly
that's exactly it. It's like a visible character.
Up.
Yeah.
What about Kiefer Moore's penalty where it hit the bar twice?
He didn't mean that.
Did he not?
That is marginal.
Well, no.
He looked so relieved.
Did you see when he came back and he had Ben Davies on his arm and he came back and rejoined the line and you could tell he just went, fucking hell.
Yeah.
He looked so
look
relieved.
On Page's face. I think he mouthed,
I did not mean that.
Yeah.
On the penalty thing generally, what's kind of sometimes lost, I think, and we talked about this on the show before, where you talk about the idea that the whole reason a penalty kick exists is because it's to award an advantage to an attacking team.
Yeah.
Now, this is a slightly different context because it's a shootout or a penalty competition, as Barry Davis would say.
Yeah, you're talking.
But everything is stacked in favour of the person taking the kick anyway. The issue then becomes that the laws are now, in my view, so harsh on goalkeepers anyway, and the referees have been hot on it in recent seasons, where you have to have some contact with the line, you can't take a step forward. I kind of feel like...
Well, there was the little check after James missed.
Exactly, and everyone was in the goal. At that point, that would have been an absolute shit show if he pulled that. Yeah.
The best one was David Marshall when he saved against Mitrovic for the Scots to go through. He was like on tentacles. Is that good? Is that good? He's like, I've got a massive celebration in me, I want to get out.
And the thing is, I feel like if you are going to do what Lewandowski did... Yeah. It almost feels like it should become fair game. The keeper should be able to move because you're bringing that variable in.
Exactly. Look, you know what I thought though? That where keepers used to jump off the line and it was never penalised, and Pat Bonner used to love a bit of that.
Yeah.
Have you rewatched the 2005 Champions League final penalties?
Oh, is it bad for
Dudek?
Yeah.
Basically, peed the ball up off the spot.
Yeah, I was going to say. but that's the thing.
There's some in World Cup 90 as well, which are ridiculous. two big steps off the line.
That's what I mean though. Like, so coming off your line, goalkeepers should have exploited that more. Because presumably when the referee says, right, you take it with a blow of the whistle or anything, surely it could be like a rugby charge.
Yeah.
Because they would just jump like a step or two off. Further forward, man.
You can do what you can.
Because you could come off your line.
Yeah, you could then.
They all missed a trick.
Because then, I mean, at the same...
No penalties ever scored again.
Like, it's just smothered.
We have to rethink this.
People just kicking people in the box. Be like, it's fine, the keeper's going to save it.
A Penenga penalty would make sense. He'd dink it over
the top,
him.
Well, I suppose it would change... Like, obviously, they're not going to change the rules now, but I do quite like that as a way that, you know, strikers would just make an adjustment, or, you know, penalty takers would just make an adjustment. They'd make their run up short.
They would. They'd have to do one.
What about maybe in a shootout, you get an outfield player to assist you, but the opposition pick which outfield player and he's still not allowed to use his
hands? I am going to have to insist that you call it a penalty competition, Andy, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Right.
So okay. Tribute to the great Barry Davis. I would also, look, we're getting way off the topic here, but just finally, the way you make penalties more interesting and put a bit more jeopardy in there is in regulation time or extra time, I'm not talking about a penalty competition, outside of that, in the actual game itself, you instill a law that says whoever gets fouled for the penalty has to take it. And that makes it far more interesting.
Like a free throw in basketball.
It makes it far more interesting because you haven't got a designated penalty taker. It also doesn't pump the stats, the goal scoring stats either.
Imagine if you had the equivalent of hack a shack in football, where you think,
you would.
Let's deliberately foul that player at a corner.
Because
they have to take it.
Yeah.
You were still giving away a penalty, though.
Yeah.
Were you doing it for the banter?
But it's all right, the keeper will sort it. We talked about that.
Well, look, back to Wales and Poland. I think that when Dan James stepped up to take that fifth penalty, there was a little bit of concern on the WhatsApp group for him.
I think rightly so. There's a feeling, isn't there? There's always a feeling. And, you know, sometimes, maybe it's just that sometimes the feeling comes and we're wrong about it, so we instantly forget about it. When there is a feeling, it kind of really lends itself to,
because you think that was the end of the sort of, if you like, the regular penalty competition. We hadn't gone to sudden death there. And you think there's been 10.
But it effectively was sudden death at that point.
Yes.
Well, effectively, by the letter of the penalty competition, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But he obviously needed to score. He didn't. And I just. When you have 9 kicks are taken and scored and then you're the 10th one, I felt so sorry for
Yeah, it is. I suppose the thing is, I think Wales were just about better on the night, but Poland had the better goalkeeper and the better penalty takers.
And Poland was so cool when they took the penalties.
That's the thing.
That's how you do it.
To do it in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere at Cardiff is unbelievable. Mm. I cannot reiterate that enough, by the way. But I think when we go back to that, and going back to what you were saying before, Vish, and how... I don't think those words from Rob Page are empty words. I think they really do have something to build on. Because there are, as I said on Friday, they're a much better team than they were at the World Cup in 2022.
Yeah, they were really disappointing.
They've got a fairly young core on the whole. Mm-hmm. They're not reliant on the two players that they've been reliant on for ages. Well, obviously, Ramsey's marginalised and Bale's gone. And you just felt in that atmosphere last night, as well as the one on Thursday, the fact that what is a national team about? It's about all being united for one cause. And
he's about to throw a Reece Evans.
Reece Evans, come on!
Yeah. Those fans, stripped down to my pants. Oh. I think that...
Can you hear them, boys?
That set of players and that set of fans could not be more united.
Yeah.
They embody what being a national team is about.
They have to capitalise on the recent momentum they've got. They went a huge amount of time, 58 through to whenever it was, 2016, not qualifying for anything. And now their record is actually very good for the relative size of their nation.
Yeah.
They can't...
Played like Northern Ireland?
They can't step back like this. They have to keep building. They have to maintain their confidence as best they can and try and go again.
Do you know what's fascinating? Here's a stat for you. It was the first time the Welsh men's team have been involved in competitive extra time.
Mm.
Isn't that incredible?
Not really, because they never qualified for anything.
Well,
historically.
You just talked about they have recently.
In
2016, they went to a semi-final.
What I'm saying is there wouldn't be a massive sample size.
Okay, fine.
Compared to some bigger nations.
I thought it was interesting.
So I disagree. It's actually not an interesting
All right.
We'll do a poll about that on Twitter.
Okay.
Was that an interesting statistic or not?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that, like, I think going forward, what Luke was saying there about, you can't take a backward step. I think their young players, almost prevent them from taking a backward step when you consider like two players in Ampadu, who's got so much experience, only 23, and young Jordan James as well. That's basically their midfield too. So everything's going to work around that. Harry Wilson's obviously stepped up a level as well and is a bit older, but that whole core is going to make sure that they can't take a backward step.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Conor Roberts' tash, an attempt to add some seniority to the group.
I think rightly so.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, if you've got tash, you can either be wing commander or you can be Leon off Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think he's nearer the latter than the former.
Yeah, he needs some glasses as well.
A bit of a cheeky one. Yeah, definitely.
A bit of a cheeky one. Of course, Georgia beat Greece on penalties.
Amazing.
To reach their first ever major tournament in 15 attempts.
It's incredible.
How about that? And you know, since the start of the Euros, there's always been a debutant at the tournament.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is quite something.
That's an interesting stat. Yeah. There you go.
There we are. You see, I've managed to
wrestle it back.
To prove my value once again. But I have to constantly prove it, though.
Yeah.
My favourite one's 2004, Latvia.
Yeah.
People forget
Marion
about
Pahas.
Marion.
Yeah. Scummer. Yeah.
but yeah, well done to Georgia. They were there.
Clarence Skelly is going to be at the tournament.
That's lovely.
Very exciting.
With all due respect to Georgia, that's the only thing I care about.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. But just like that major tournament thing of having like a star player there.
Has he dragged
that's disrespectful
to
Georgia.
I'm joking, Georgia.
It's the home of Joseph Stalin, for crying out loud.
For fuck's sake. Andy, is Clarence Skelly, has he kind of dragged them kicking and screaming, or have they got some other good players as well?
Obviously, he's their standout. Yeah, but they do have other good players. I think you have to look out for Mikatadze, who's on loan from Ajax to his old club, Metz, at the moment. Mm-hmm. He made a difference when he came on, I thought. And it was interesting because if you look at the extra time in Wales versus Poland, the weight of it was definitely on those two teams. Like, nothing happened. If it had gone straight from 90 minutes to penalties, it wouldn't have made any difference. Mm. Whereas the last 20, 25 minutes in particular of the Georgia-Greece game were really cagey. And then they were like, whoa, it's extra time. And it was completely off the chain extra time. It was unbelievable and surprising that we didn't get a goal in that before we got to the pens.
I like the fact that managing the Georgia side, Andy, is...
Big Willie Sanyol.
Yeah. How about that?
Is he a Bayern Munich legend?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, great stuff. I was actually really pleased to see his name, actually, when I saw it come up.
And they will, of course, be the purveyors of the best bread at the tournament.
Ooh,
perhaps ahead of France and Turkey.
What's up with the egg in it and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you can have that, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You can have that. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, why wouldn't you have that? Have a bit of
flour. What are you talking about, then?
What have you got against the egg?
Yeah, exactly.
The humble egg.
Well, what bread are you talking about then?
All sorts of bread they have available. It's incredible.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing Georgia and their St. George's crosses at the tournament.
Yep.
They outdo us with the St. George's crosses. They got, what, five of them on the flag?
They don't mess around with it.
Right.
Well, they have, haven't they?
Yeah, massively.
Yeah.
They don't mess around with it. No, they put more of them up.
Yeah. What's that?
I think we're going to look at that and go, ooh. I thought we were the,
Imagine if England play Georgia.
How about that?
I think they should play them, and both teams should refuse to wear a chain strip to see who actually is the most powerful St. George's cross.
Yeah, because we can't play AC Milan or Barcelona.
No, quite exactly.
No. Exactly.
They're a proper, that's a turducken of a
St. George's Cross, isn't it?
Yeah, it's properly involved, isn't it?
There's a lot of countries where St. George is very popular. That's how you do it. He's just a populist, or certainly feels like it at the moment. Yeah. Anyway, sorry for the bollocks. Ukraine are through to Euro 2024 as well. That man, Mudryk, got a late winner to get them past Iceland.
And you've got to be pleased for Ukraine for all the obvious reasons, but there is a but here. I quite wanted Iceland to do well as well. I quite like Iceland too.
Not after what they did to us.
Well, no, but that's why. they've earned the right.
Nah.
They've earned the right.
They lost it then.
Yeah. Imagine, Vic.
They lost the right then.
How very day.
Yeah. Oh, you put your cross slightly to the side and then put us out of the tournament. Yeah.
Imagine that game.
Made McLaren look a fool on Sky Sports News. You happy with yourself?
Yeah. And it's a Roy Hodgson meme now as well, isn't it? But imagine that being the first game that all of your new American in-laws watch with you at their house in America. When you're trying to sell into them the idea of soccer. Right. You just imagine how I experienced that tournament. and everyone around was just so confused. It's supposed to happen. Because a lot of them wouldn't have even heard of Iceland.
They wouldn't have done.
Yeah. And I think the fact that it was the kind of recent nadir of England's performance in football means that Iceland should probably get a free pass for the next five tournaments.
Well, we beat them in the Nations League.
We did.
So got the last laugh. But Andy, Ukraine are through. It's great for them.
Yeah, it's really great for them. And Mudryk to show up as well. I feel he's had a gently improving season.
Yes.
Rather than an amazing one. But for him to like grab that moment, he always seemed the player most likely to. Having said that, whatever you think of his form since he's joined Chelsea, he's one of the most accomplished knee sliders in football today. And he got it totally wrong.
He botched that. He absolutely botched that, yeah.
Didn't he?
Is he out of practice, do you reckon?
I think it shows that the tension gets to you at these big moments.
It does, absolutely.
It's like pens, really, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah.
It is a bit like pens. No, you're absolutely right. So so they are the final teams that have qualified, Poland, Georgia and Ukraine, of course. The aforementioned Latvia had a poor night. They drew 1-1 with Liechtenstein. Their defender, Marcus Oss, scored. Always nice to have one in there. He scored a ridiculous own goal after 14 seconds. I don't think it was his fault. I think it was the keeper.
It was a very acute angle.
Let's blame the keeper.
And I think the keeper should have covered that angle.
There you go.
Now, I don't think there's any... So those of you who haven't seen it, it's a passing mover from the kickoff. He's got the ball really on his own touchline, to the left of the goal. Very acute angle. And he simply plays the ball to the goalkeeper. There's no reason at all the goalkeeper should be on the other side of the goal.
It looks like the goalkeeper's doing something else.
No, the goalkeeper ran away, Andy.
What does Joey Barton think about it? Ask Joey.
Why are you mentioning that, dickhead?
It was a very modern football own goal.
It was.
Because we were talking about the Dixon Seaman own goal.
It's classic. Well, he loves him.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
As you pointed out, Seaman could have actually caught or pushed over the bar.
Because it was the
year before the back pass rule came in.
Do you think David Seaman thought, This is going straight on own goals and gaffes. Baker a solid.
Can I just say, even if there is a back pass rule, just save it.
Yeah.
Deal with the rest of it later.
Seaman probably thought, I probably don't need to practice these really.
This will never happen again.
Back pass rule's coming next year, so this wouldn't happen again.
Yeah.
He had a fine career.
It was a fantastic career.
Yeah, but that was a.
He's probably in the ponytail 11.
I'd hope so.
You'd hope so. I mean, it's very, very tough to think of. The possible exception, Andy, coming bringing you in here, possible exception of Rushdu Rekpa.
Okay.
Did he have a ponytail at one point?
Yeah,
I think he did.
He's not a bit top knot. Did he ever have a top knot?
Yes, he did. Yeah,
but he's not better keeping Seaman though.
I'm going to say a name that you haven't heard for donkeys.
Go on,
Tony Meola.
Meola. Meola's not a better goalkeeper than David Seaman.
But he's got a ponytail.
So wasn't he merely mulleted?
Wasn't he
merely mulleted?
Nonsense, poopy pants. Yeah. Tony Meola had a ponytail. And I'm quite sure he played in the sticks for the US in the 94 World Cup.
He did. He absolutely did. Yeah. That's how we all know who he is. Yeah,
we are.
But like bottom line is, without even looking at it, we know the 11's going to have Seaman in goal and Tom Eaves up front.
Not Andy Carroll.
Oh yeah, see? That's what a Discord is the place to be.
Get on the Discord.
You can get involved in these kind of conversations.
Are you saying no to two up front?
Okay, you go.
Oh, not now.
Marcus selling out your Englishness. I'm disgusted.
That's nonsense.
Disgusted.
I'm not saying no to two up front.
Disgusted.
I'm saying I want a little man up there with him.
I say you can't be truly English if they're both going to be big lads. You need to have a big man, little man.
Exactly, yeah.
Get Michael Owen a ponytail.
Remember your heritage.
Remember your heritage.
Sometimes I don't even know you.
Marcus thinks ponytails are foreign muck anyway.
Right. Coming up in the second half, of course, we've got England. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten about it.
No.
What else have we got? Oh, Scotland and... Oh, but the new Riverside stand at Fulham is going to open
somehow,
soon.
Somehow, in the second half of this show, we're talking about Fulham opening a new stand.
Show some fucking respect.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To run and does. Can he play a colleague through? It's Jacob Murphy released. Murphy one on one. Jacob Murphy to win it. Just put it in the net.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Nice to hear that again. England 2, Belgium 2.
Yeah.
Well, those Belgians were lucky to get a draw, weren't they?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Who do they think they are?
I know.
I'll tell you
They're a proper country.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was thinking...
We're not going to cancel your Tintin kit, mate. Have you read some of the older books?
I respect the kit. I do respect the kit. Okay. Respect the shirt. Don't respect the shorts. Come on.
Shorts should be longer. Shorts are shocking. I was thinking to myself, you know, when you watch a game like this and you think, okay, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. A bit like with Wales, you start to form maybe some opinions. You know, what are we going to say? And I heard Jude Bellingham do his post-match interview and I thought, yeah, he's kind of summed it up all there.
Yeah.
He's like, well, one of the reasons why I'm glad I scored is just because some of the stuff that will be written about is hopefully put some of that to bed. Yeah. It'll be different come the Euros. Don't worry, everybody. We'll be more focused. Playing with a lot of new lads, but they did pretty well. But yeah, delighted to score. And I thought, there we are.
I think Jude should be the Prime Minister of, Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
He would be unequivocally better than what we've had for the last 100%. I don't know how long.
But isn't it funny that he chose to hone in on that for his first comment when actually he doesn't have to put up with any of it? But
he loves it, Andy.
All of his senior career has been
Andy, abroad. I'll tell you why, because he's on a plane to Madrid tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
So he doesn't have to, you know, read all that kind
There's
of crap.
There's a lot
crap.
To be said for that.
I think, but you're right. I think without sort of being silly, I think that he even like kind of checked himself when he was talking about some of the younger lads and he went, oh, here I am talking like one of the older heads. But he is.
You are, yeah.
It is like we've known this guy for 10 years.
Seniority is not really about age.
No, exactly.
Certainly not when it comes to him. Mm. Missed a couple of chances, as we know, but I was delighted for him. And what I loved about Bellingham is we talked about a bit of Needle and so on. I forget who it was. The player. Was it Anana?
It was Anana,
after the game, because there was a bit of...
There was a lot during the game.
There was quite a lot during the game. And after the game, Anana went over to him and you could just hear Bellingham shaking his hand and really just calmly going, oh, by the way, behave yourself. As if he was like his teacher.
That's
do you know
class.
What I mean?
It was absolutely class.
Yeah, and then Anana was sort of like smiling, going, ah, come on. And he was just like, no, seriously. right? None of that.
Do you not remember during
come the summer? None of it.
Do you not remember during El Clasico when I can't remember who it was, but he basically was. There was a lot of back and forth in a break and during a break and play, and he was towering over. I want to say it was Pedri, but maybe it wasn't. And basically just going, oi, show some respect. Mm. And because he's so...
Is it more impressive than when Phil Neville does it?
A little bit. But it was almost like...
Sorry, what was the question?
I know what you're like. Stop it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what his post-match was. He was saying to the... He was turning to the camera, to the nation, look, I know what you're like.
Yep.
Fucking calm down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2-2. I've done it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a couple of months. Mm. Sort yourselves out.
Do you know what? It's a bit Brian Clough-esque.
Yeah.
Do you know like Clough would walk around as if he owned the place and would just talk to people and be like, no, you're not doing that here and all that.
But going back
an element
to,
of it.
Going back to what you guys were talking about on Monday, though, I do think, you know, obviously he's perfect in so many ways. And it's
is there a danger he goes too far with this?
A big danger.
Yeah, no, I do agree.
What, more perfect?
The thing is... The thing is that the chip, the chat to the ref that you were talking about on Monday, Vish, and the really getting wound up by players he shouldn't get wound up by, it happens on a weekly basis now. And it's got worse and worse over the last couple of months.
A mate of mine's planning to have a bet on him getting sent off in a knockout game for
England.
That's how the narrative goes. I
could see that because you go back to when he was at Dortmund. And a couple of his senior teammates, Emre Can actually was one of them, said like publicly, he's got to wind it in.
Yeah.
And it's actually escalated.
Do you think people in Real Madrid are telling him to wind it in or wind it up?
Yeah.
I remember I was at the second leg of the Dortmund Rangers game in Glasgow, and obviously Rangers ended up winning the tie. But he was furious to the extent that even in that atmosphere, you could hear him shouting at his players, like remonstrating and stuff like that. And I get that as like a competitive younger player, but I'm also not that worried about it.
Well, I think for England, I think he's aware of the, you know, playing for your country and the kind of the nature of all that kind of stuff. So I'd be surprised if he goes over the top. I mean, again, when Harry Kane misses that penalty against France in the World Cup, he's the only player on the England pitch, well, obviously, why would the French do this? But he's the only player to go over and console him and go, right, come on, head up, son, you know, let's get going. Not even, you know, I talk about Jordan Henderson's leadership. Not even Henderson did that. Harry Kane's just missed a crucial thing. There's still time to save
it. But this is the juxtaposition of Bellingham, isn't it? That he's really mature, but really combustible at the same time.
Maybe he's just competitive. He's just competitive, though,
isn't
he?
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's just like Rooney. You can't actually take that away from him.
I think he's different than Rooney. I think Rooney...
No, I'm not saying they're the same person. I'm saying the thing that is similar is you can't have one without the other.
Okay, fair.
I was going to say that
people never said that about Roy Keane. You know, Roy Keane was like that.
Because they were scared to.
Well, fair enough. But like, Bellingham's got a lot of development to go anyway. Mm. And you're talking about a player who... And Andy, you might disagree, but Yeah, if I said he's the best player in the world, it's not a terrible shout.
It's not outrageous. No.
Yeah. Answer me this. Do you take him to the Euros?
So,
let's talk about England.
Should he start above Kobe Mainoo is a question.
Well,
that's your question.
Yeah. He's the best player in the world. And you watch him, and everything he does is not only brilliant, there's no real weakness to his game. You guys talk about his temperament. Maybe through one lens, that's a weakness, and maybe.
Well, look, we've talked.
Hang on.
All right.
And everything he does is so effortless. He never even looks out of breath. Like there's nothing else. There's nothing he can't do. And I think that edge he's got. I feel like I'm kind of more on Vicious side of the fence, chiefly because I feel like if England come up against a really good team in the Euro knockout stages, and they're experienced, and maybe it is like a France who've won stuff and they've got a load of good players. I don't want England to be bullied.
No, you're right.
And he's not going to let England be bullied. And I think that's a really important thing, particularly in that area of the pitch. Mm. It's really important to make sure you're not bullied about that sort of stuff. And what we need to make sure is that we make sure that he's channeling it in the right way. And I don't think anyone here can really assess fully whether he is or not. You can say, I watched him live in person and he got really angry. Well, so fucking what? Mm. It doesn't matter. He's had, what, one red card this year in the Liga? That's it. Mm. It's not like he's getting sent off every other week.
Yeah.
It's not like a... And Stefan Effenberg type character.
Madison's more likely to get sent off for chatting to the referee.
Everyone's got it in them to have that.
Yeah.
And I just think we really want to be just careful just to understand that it's a massive blessing to have him.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
What was Luke saying about you know, about England not being bullied in those big moments. I think yesterday it was ripe for that because it was almost a pathetic fallacy, wasn't it, in terms of the rain, the mistakes. You know, there was like echoes of McLaren's last game against Croatia when England failed to qualify there. Keegan's last game against Germany, like two real dud nights at Wembley.
Blimey, I'm really glad I watched it on my own now.
But you know, Pickford makes that mistake, the driving rain, the fact that England get quite desperate at the end of the game and still pull through. And I think a lot of that comes from Bellingham's competitiveness. Mm-hmm. The idea that, like, I know this is a friendly, but come on, like,
extrapolate on that, you're absolutely right. To extrapolate on that, England have got out of jail at home against Belgium in a friendly. Belgium are a good team. Probably not the best version of them we've seen in recent years, but they're a good team. Got good players. England haven't won the game because Pickford's made an error and Lewis Dunk shit his pants. And we're talking about Jude Bellingham's temperament.
You'd want the Belgium shorts if you're going to shit your pants.
Absolutely, it's easier. Yeah. Much easier. But Lewis Dunk essentially filled his pants as soon as Romelu Lukaku came anywhere near him.
Because you remember what happened against Roma.
And you know what? That is a bit of a worry because we're not great at centre back.
Well, I said this
against
Brazil.
We need someone to be able to do that.
I saw Dunk, and look, Dunk is a good player, and again, to single people out, and you know, waking up this morning, you know, England fans will feel a little bit better. To be one of the guys who's in that narrative of, oh, that was, you know, some much better attacking player, a bit more fluid, and Mainoo and all these players, and go, yeah, but that guy though, and that's what Dunk will be feeling today. But I did say against Brazil, rather, seeing him in, like, it really kind of stood out, like, how kind of slow he is. And, you know, people have slagged off Maguire, and I understand why he's had his critics, don't get me wrong, but what are people, or certainly some of the journalists saying now, oh, actually, yeah, Maguire's spot safe and so on. Again, that shows you the defensive frailties England have. But lesser sides with lesser attacking talent have won tournaments. We talk about Santos, you know, look at Portugal. Who did they have at the back? Was it Jose Font and Pepe?
Yeah.
Now, Pepe, you know, Pepe's obviously, you know, a great player and so on. You know, Jose Font at the back, you know, people wouldn't have thought that.
Scammer. Too much in
this. Another one.
Yeah. Do you think this is a missed opportunity for Jared Branthwaite?
No, because...
A bit soon, maybe.
But this is how it goes, Vish. You know, the injuries that Southgate was bemoaning, and rightly so, I think are a blessing. Because without those injuries, Mainoo's not going to the Euros. Mainoo is probably starting for England now.
Yeah.
And if he isn't, why the bloody hell is he not? Mm. So and that doesn't happen because of the injuries. Cole Palmer will feel a bit kind of like, ah, if I'd have maybe got a chance. But the fact is, Bowen, you know, has taken his chance, you would say.
It's not massively pressing for England, is
no,
it?
No, exactly, yeah. I feel like Cole Palmer is going, but Jared Bowen is the one that Southgate needed to see something from. Okay. I don't know that Cole Palmer would have told Southgate anything that we don't already know from his body of work so far this season.
Yeah, but I think you know, people call these auditions, and understandably, you know, if you're an international manager, sometimes you get a flavour of someone, sometimes you don't, and sometimes you just think, I'm not sure that they're going to recreate their club form. Now, Palmer's clearly a better player, and he will play in an England shirt, certainly in future. If it's not this summer, he will get there. But you've got to make big decisions, and sometimes the sample size isn't huge. And these, they are, it's a bit like trials, you know, when you go for trials for your county or whatever, when you're younger, if people have done that, you don't play well. And it's kind of like, well, sorry, mate, but you had your chance. But that may seem very harsh, Andy, but that is a little bit of being an international manager.
Bowen's much more worthwhile for this tournament, I think. Okay, Palmer...
It's not Bowen's first play start for England.
Palmer might have the longer England career.
Yeah.
But if you're Southgate, I think you're definitely taking Bowen. If it's a choice between Bowen and Palmer. Yeah, he's more adaptable.
Back up for Saka, basically.
And the idea is, I think if you look at... Yeah, and he can play a centre-forward if you need him. Yeah.
That's where he mostly plays West Ham.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. There are so many options. He's an incredibly intelligent and much more experienced player. And I think with Palmer, there's still that sense, a little bit like there was at Manchester City with England, of he's fantastic, but where do we put him? Like with Chelsea, it's obvious because he's head and shoulders above everyone else around him. But if we move on to like the more collective conclusions that you would draw from this.
Yes.
I thought England were really good in this against a Belgium side that, as Luke hinted at, are much better than people think. And, you know, I think there'll be an interesting one to watch when it comes to this tournament. But the way that England recovered from those slip-ups, and, you know, there's no getting around the fact they conceded two really bad goals. but they didn't let it knock them off course. Mm. I thought they continued to play really, really well. It was a much better performance than the one against Brazil, which was really stodgy and awful. But I guess it just does come back to the defensive thing, because they could have conceded more last night. They could have conceded four against Brazil, three or four against Brazil.
You're
really.
Right. Do you think, though, with the defensive sort of frailties or whatever, obviously, again, they didn't have some starters in there, but people have said, oh, Southgate, take the handbrake off. And a lot of people don't like Southgate, or they've had enough of whatever, and they're saying he's unimaginative. Blah, 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 you know, all the criticism. Well, actually, last night, the handbrake was well off.
Yeah.
You know, they were attacking.
Foden got to do what he wanted.
Foden got to do what he wanted.
Yeah, spot on. He was so good in that second half.
Exactly. You didn't have a sort of a hurrier or whatever you want to call Gallagher, even though Gallagher's more of an attacking player. You didn't have anything. You had Maynou in there, who provided some lovely moments and flair. But if England try and do that, they're going to want to press teams high up the pitch. This is what we see good teams do, right? You press them high. That leaves them exposed at the back. They don't have a lot of pace at the back.
Absolutely. So
what do you want, kind of thing?
The short answer to this is the two games against Belgium and Brazil, particularly the game against Brazil, but also the game last night, is a great example to people who love England, who don't really know that much about football, and who are those guys. The crossover between those types of people and the criticism of Southgate will be quite a big part of a Venn diagram. You use these two games as an example and say, yeah. If you want England to play as you keep insisting you want them to play, this is basically what's going to happen against good teams.
Yeah.
Because you can talk about England potentially conceding three or four or whatever against Brazil. The facts are that according to Opta, against Brazil, playing in that much more expansive way, understanding what's to try things, but they played in an expansive way against Brazil, who are a team roughly commensurate of a team who's going to go deep in an international tournament because they're Brazil, and they gave up more key chances, more big chances, Opta defines as a big chance, than any other game in Gareth Southgate's tenure as England manager.
Well, and in total, you take the whole of the World Cup campaign.
So the reason they play with this kind of much more thoughtful, you call it a handbrake on if you want or whatever, is because Southgate knows, from kind of quite painful experience now, the margins are so fine. Mm-hmm. And if you open yourself up, you might win. You might go. It's almost a bit like a boxer who's really good on the. It's like a Floyd Mayweather, who's the most amazing defensive boxer you'd ever would have seen.
Yeah.
Deciding to go in the middle of the ring toe to toe with a banger, with like a flat-footed knockout artist banger. He would never do that because he's got a far. He might not lose, but he's got a far bigger chance of losing. And in football, it's the same kind of thing. It's one team wins and one team doesn't in international knockout football. And England need to play to their strengths. You can sit there all you like, crying into your pint that England aren't, you know, 1970 Brazil, but football isn't like that now. England don't have players like that.
I guess the question is, can they actually play how Southgate wants them to? Which I think is reasonable, by the way, to defend and use your quality in sparing moments. I think that's fine. I think that's quite a sensible way to win a tournament. And I think if you go back over the history of international tournaments over the last 20 plus years, that is generally how tournaments are won. Okay, maybe football's evolving a bit and that's a different discussion. But what I do think is we can talk about the defensive personnel. The lack of Phillips or a Phillips is a really huge problem, because what we're doing is we're saying, well, it has to be Declan Rice plus one.
Yeah.
But why has Declan Rice been one of the best players in the Premier League, if not the best player in the Premier League? Because he's basically an eight
this season.
And we want him to play as a six, even though he's been phenomenal as an eight.
Well, where I come from, a six is a four, by the way. I don't know when it became a six.
Yeah, I just think you numerically.
We're going to talk numbers. Let's talk numbers.
Inflation.
It was always a four until about 10 years ago. It is inflation.
Yeah. I think there's an answer to that, and that's you are in a particular moment.
Exactly. Everyone. That's what everyone says. But in Europe, they call it a six, right? That's basically why. Okay, fine.
But do you not feel, though, and I agree with you, that Maynou is possibly the answer to this.
So, but does this not touch on what we said when he got called up in terms of, you know, people had a bit of a pop at us, understandably so, because they felt we were like pouring cold water.
It's never understandable. People have a pop at us.
It's fair.
Get out, have some respect.
Well, we were just
press the button.
Yeah, okay.
Show some fucking respect.
And that's aimed at all of you listening to this podcast. But thank you for listening. And
we're grafting in here.
But thank you for listening, and please continue to listen.
Pay us a fiver, and you can listen to the bit where we don't insult you.
But that's not a guarantee from me. I'm not guaranteeing that.
But we were slightly tentative. I think rightly so, because we were like, you know, obviously it's a great news story. And it's a great story for Melu himself. But going into this, you know, who knows, because he's going to play a different position. And my thought was he would actually, you know, his future is further forward, which is actually the position he played last night.
Yeah, exactly. He got forward more.
Exactly.
Because he was driving a bit more. There was a lovely bit of interplay with Tony on the left in a counter-attack, which was...
Well, for the penalty.
Yeah, and
the way
and
he turns and gets out of those tight spaces.
Wonderful.
We don't have anybody else like that, maybe apart from Bellingham.
But then we also saw the other side of it, which is what we were talking about, in that we wanted someone... kind of want someone who shields and allows Rice to be Rice as well here, because of how, you know, error-strewn England can be at the back in those, as Luke says, in those you know, finer moments. And I suppose that's, you know, I left that game yesterday thinking that is a midfield three. If I was playing FIFA tomorrow, that is my midfield three. It's not my job, that's my midfield three. But I think we also saw why Southgate might be a bit reticent to do that.
And I feel like, we should mention, there's a couple of things I want to mention off the back of this. Like, I want to mention Tony, who did a really good job of targeting Jan Vertonghen, who is not, you know, not an improving player and looks very, very slow on the turn now. And Tony was not only able to link up well, but he won that penalty for himself as an intelligent run off the back of it. Yeah, it was an intelligent run off the back of what looks like a shot defender. And he took the penalty himself, obviously, and scored it, which is important because that's really basically what Kane does in a nutshell. So I thought he was good, and I was quite harsh on him when comparing him to Watkins. And I think fairly.
You weren't harsh on him. I think you were promoting Watkins. Watkins should be given a chance.
But on the errors, this is why this is potentially going to be a problem, because we can talk about systemic stuff all the time. And talk about how Guardiola approaches things with Man City across a 55-game season, with the exception of kind of knockout stages in the Champions League, but even then, not the majority of them are two legs. Like, it's not as, stakes aren't as high. Guardiola will make an assessment and a calculation. He'll say, I'll accept Edison or whoever it is making X amount of errors per season, because it's the price of doing business.
Yes.
You can't have the price of doing business in a knockout tournament at international level. And the concern with not just Dunk, but Pickford as well, is that error last night was just fucking moronic. There's no pressure on him. But it's not like he's been hounded and harried and he's been under it for ages. He's under the pump.
Are we talking about the Pickford one?
Yeah. I think launches it in the technique to launch that ball like that, given that one of his unique selling points is how good he is with his feet, I just thought was really, really poor.
I think the weird thing about that is not the error, but the way he didn't respond to it. And it almost felt to me like Tielemans was expecting that reaction. And he's like, right, if I keep calm head here, I've scored. Because it's a really, really good finish, like putting
great
it
finish
back to where he's coming from. But you wonder, because Pickford reacts in quite a wired way to mistakes.
It looked like a glitch. It looked like a video game glitch.
He's mad.
Honestly, that's controller out the window stuff if that happens to you.
Yeah.
Mad. But who do you put in for him? He will be England's number
one. What I'm saying, but it's still a concern. Sure. That's why it's a concern.
Yeah, but again, I think when Bellingham says, you know, come the tournament, I wouldn't worry about Pickford just because of his previous in tournaments for England. But, you know, he still
he does. I think that is, whenever we have the conversation about Pickford, I think that is something we should always remember. Like, in tournaments, he has been outstanding. And there's almost a sense of, and maybe Everton fans might be a bit annoyed by this, and I suppose the fans who were supporting England last night, but there is almost a sense of, like, right, I'm going to cut out some of that stuff now.
Yeah, I know what
you mean. Little reminder for him.
Yeah.
Well, look, Luke and I will be back tomorrow for a special England episode where we'll be reviewing our England starting 11 for the Euros, answering your questions and seeing if you listeners trust Gareth Southgate to get the best out of the team in the summer. So get that tomorrow in your podcast app, and of course follow us on Spotify so you never miss an episode. So more England chat coming your way. But for now, on this Wednesday edition of the Football Ramble, we're going to move on to Scotland 0, Northern Ireland 1. Scotland now winless in 7. Look, pretty toothless here. And there were boos at half-time and full-time, which I think is a bit piss poor from the Tartan Army, if I'm honest with
you. It's funny, isn't it, how we looked at maybe some England fans, some France fans, overreacting to friendlies at this really difficult point of the season. And they've got Scotland fans doing it as well.
Oh, they've taken it to
I mean, the weird thing, they actually played all right in Amsterdam, didn't they?
Yeah, well,
despite ending up getting battered in that game, obviously.
So, yeah, I mean, I would have liked you to confront them, Andy, and said, why are you booing a 4-0 loss? See how you got on there. But I think that you can see, look, what Steve Clark's done, he's done a great job. They've qualified again. They're in the UEFA Nations League A category now. The progression is so clear. how they've done it. I understand it's a bit annoying, but to boo them at half time and full time like that, and it wasn't just a smattering of boos. I was just a bit like, but come
they,
on, lads.
The way they come out of the traps in the qualifying campaign, you've set a standard that you're never going to be able to maintain.
Now, obviously, Northern Ireland are not one of the top nations when it comes to football. Although today they were the only side in the UK who won last night. Yeah. By the way, but looking at the bigger picture, if I can, you know, we listed off the teams that they've played recently. You know, in their last sort of seven games. You know, the Dutch, they played, what was it, France, England, Spain. You know, I understand it's disappointing, but I just think...
So I think there's a feeling, and they have played some good teams, and it's a totally cerebral point to make that you can play quite well and lose 4-0. I mean, ultimately, it's academic. I mean,
Frank Lampard over
here. It's academic. It's academic in a tournament. But these are preparation games.
Yeah, I think that there was...
But how do you play well and lose 4-0?
Well, did you watch the game?
No, I didn't watch the game. That's what I'm asking.
I said they played fairly well. They
created chances. They should have scored.
Up until 2-0, they were well into it. And that was like in the last 15 minutes. They were really good for the first 75 minutes.
Fair enough. The point I just want to make on Scotland's more general point is that a bit of inertia there to me, it feels like. It's a massive effort to qualify for a tournament. They've done it well. Mm-hmm. And then naturally, it's almost a bit like trying to defend a title win. You get a little bit of you settle in, you get a little bit kind of complacent.
But I don't think it is complacency, because I think there was plenty, like Andy's saying, they were full of energy, they were full of pressing. It was that cutting edge to put away some chances, maybe lacking a bit of focus, you could argue. But I don't think I wouldn't have said it was inertia personally.
I think they're in a weird little space now where the mistakes they're making, whether it's their lack of cutting edge up front or this weird propensity to shoot themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. Like Patterson yesterday when he tried to flick the ball between two Northern Ireland players in his own box. There is a short-term familiarity about it, which is why they boo, which is like, oh, for fuck's sake, not again.
It's us again kind of thing.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Why do we
understand.
Keep doing this?
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, I think it comes from... Because there's no other way of... you can't just...
What, you know, tut it? You can no tut. Other,
you can't
have a whole
they're
stadium.
Not tutters.
They are tutters.
They're not tutters.
They are.
No.
Listen, what you got to understand
they're
is...
They're fannies.
Scotland,
you're not fannies.
If Scotland play badly and lose, Speller will stick the boot in, and then he'll disappear off Twitter for a week until there's a couple of shows more under his belt. It's all forgotten about. He just likes to drive by Scotland sometimes.
So, I'm not having a go at Scotland. I'm having a go at the fans.
Oh, in which case, I apologise. Just pissing it down. They pay to go. What are you booing for?
Hey, get Moyes in.
Yeah.
Sing the wee song you did last year.
Exactly.
So Andy's point about this is a working out period. They're playing big teams. These are almost fixtures by design, really, to push themselves to the next level. What they do need, though, is a bit of inspiration. As we saw with Wales, just get your most famous available countryman to have a word.
Who's that?
What's Connery up to?
Yeah.
Between now and the Euros.
He's dead.
Sean Connery.
Is he dead?
He died ages
What's
ago.
What's Connery up to?
Shit.
By the way, don't think for a single second we're editing that
No
out.
Way. No,
no way.
No way
we're editing that out. Vish, I'm very, very sad to break this news to you. But it has been some time now. Sean Connery's dead. What's Mary Queen of Scots up to? You know, what's the fucking... What's James... What's William of Orange up
to? In my defence... In my defence...
What's Sir Walter Scott up to?
In my defence...
Where is he?
You lot bring him up so often, assumed he's still alive.
It's a tribute.
It was never a tribute.
They could put Robert Burns up front. Oh my God.
Wait, sorry, can you...
Connery, if you're listening.
Sorry about that.
In his defence, in Vish's defence, every now and then I say Junior. And obviously, that made you think he was still alive.
Yeah.
I don't know what these news headlines are doing, but, I had a Connery impression earlier, and if that doesn't mean he's alive,
I only realised last week that Oasis are technically not together again.
No, they're not.
Not back together, because your man's playing the Ali Pally with the high-flying birds, is it?
Mm.
If you want, yeah.
Don't try and deflect.
No, yeah. I'm just saying. It's just, who else, I'm blaming. I'm putting it on you.
Who else do you think's alive?
Who do you ask to keep
what
going
other,
on about?
What other former Bonds do you think are alive?
It is true, though, because I've heard...
No, Daniel Craig died in the last one, so...
Spoilers!
I've heard they are adding Rob Roy McGregor to the coaching team ahead of the summer, so fingers crossed that'll have an effect.
When did Sean Connery die?
Oh, dear. In the past.
Yeah.
It was definitely in the past.
Sean Connery died.
Fucking hell, 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
31st of October.
Rescue this back, Halloween. Marcus. Vish is having an absolute western.
I really have to say this as well, just in case. Craig Brown is also not with us anymore.
Why did you mention that?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring you up to speed with the people who I do impressions of.
Well,
yeah,
I just Googled Scottish people who are dead.
Nick Hewer is fine at the time.
Still alive. He's still alive.
He's not Scottish. Oh, no. Marcus, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You had a fucking lobotomy. Who's lobotomised Vish? Tell me who it is. Own up to it and you won't be in trouble.
You'll be absolutely fine. Yeah. It was a great win for Northern Ireland.
Bobby Coltrane's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. Sorry. We know. We read the fucking news. You're one of the only journalists in here.
Hey, what about Nuns on the Run, though? Eh?
Yeah, classic.
Come on.
Classic.
Get the absolutely title and work backwards.
Yeah,
great win for Northern Ireland.
Great. It was a great win for them, and I feel like Northern Irish fans listening to this will be very, very pleased with the coverage.
Incredibly pleased.
we've really congratulated them as much as we possibly could.
We could.
Chick Young's still alive, so you can do it.
Of course he is. Yeah. Yeah. What? Which Chick Young? Because there was two. There was a fan that he met once.
Talking shite again.
Oh dear. Yeah. Right. Should we talk about Fulham's new stand, or should we?
No.
No.
I think the answer before was no, and the answer now is still no.
Come on, I think we all need a dip and to cool off here.
Yeah, we do.
Well,
absolutely.
Andy, they will accommodate that. So Fulham's new Riverside Stand will officially be open in April after a decade in the making. And of course,
can't rush these things, can you?
There's a smattering of fans in there.
Yeah.
Which did confuse, as I said the other week on the Ramble, a South African gentleman sitting behind me once asking me why it wasn't open and then getting a bit annoyed that I didn't know the
answer.
And
the collective noun for a bunch of Fulham fans is definitely a smattering.
A smattering, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
A gaggle of Fulham fans have been up there.
A parliament of Fulham fans.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. So it will feature a Michelin star restaurant.
Which I'm concerned about because...
restaurants, because you've got, either end of the
stand. How have they got an inspection so quickly to have a Michelin star? Mm. It must be the chef they've hired.
Yeah, who's bringing their star?
Yeah, exactly.
You just take a picture of the Michelin man up there and you're
away. That's all you've got to do, is it?
That's all you've got to do.
Bloody hell, I'll tell the cafe down the road about that.
You've got bars and terraces, tickets that you can sit directly behind the coaching staff so you can feel like you're the manager.
That's every stadium, though, isn't it? That is every stadium.
Yeah, but like this is more directly behind.
You can sit about a foot... There was a bunch of...
You can make a sub.
You do that at Loftus Road now.
Yeah.
You can make a sub, though, if you pay the upper bracket.
Oh, you know when they turn around, they tell one of the people on the bench to warm up. You can pretend that's you.
You know what? If that was the case, I would pay the no doubt very high fee for this. After a minute of play, Tom Kearney's coming on.
I love that you thought about saying exorbitant there, but you sacked it off.
Isn't this the concern, really? You know, you mentioned QPR here. This idea of getting a certain scale of London club to... They tried that before, didn't they? The sort of boutique football experience.
Yeah.
Because what I hear when... I mean,
QPR?
Yeah, they did. Flavio Briatore tried to do that, didn't he?
I love the fact that they could make Loftus Road into some sort of boutique experience.
Tried, as I say.
It's
tried.
A great place to watch football.
But it's not
for that reason.
No,
but I think past all the headlines, the issue that really needs to be addressed, if they're going to be charging people through the nose for this unique hospitality experience, is there going to be a drip down to normal fans who are being charged a lot of
money? Well, Andy, you hope not, because they will have a swimming pool, and if it's dripping down, then it's all gone wrong. Their next home game is against Newcastle in April, and the Newcastle fans, I'm sure, will be very, very interested to know how all this works.
Surely you want to have Alexander Mitrovic to open the stand officially. He's played for both sides. It's a classic fit.
I would want that.
Yeah. But and then Rodrigo Muniz to 2-foot him.
Yeah, but
the Geordies have got their shirts off already, haven't they?
They're all ready for it.
Yeah, yeah, Rodrigo Muniz to be like Ray Winston in the film Scum with like a snooker ball and a sock, smash Mitrovic to bits.
What a terrifying reference.
How many of those people are dead in that reference?
That's not now. We're not doing that.
Are we talking before or after the snooker ball attack?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, in the film, yeah. Awful business. Let's end there quickly. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut, where we're all going to pile in the Fulham swimming pool, so to speak. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Do follow us on Twitter, which is called X. Don't disrespect the musketeer. TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Luke.
Thanks.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jude. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.